It will spot a garment. That's not going to be a wrinkle. You know, one of the things that we care about so much is that wedding day. We don't want spot or wrinkle on that white dress because it stand out. You can see it. You know, it. Well, over in Revelation, he talk about you're going to wear the white robe. It's not going to be tarnished or it's going to be a white robe. You'll be able to wear white. And when we look at the church, the glorious church, the world going to see that even the beginning of the church, the world saw that we know you've been with God because you're doing the things that he did. Yeah. You're looking just like him.
Signs and wonders.
Amen. Say it again, Candy.
Signs and wonders.
Yes. He said you're going to do those works and greater works. And the greater works are the saving of souls. I don't care how many bodies you heal. If you can't get them saved, that's the greater works. And the reason he couldn't do the greater work, because he had to go back to the Father. He didn't come to do that. He left that for us to do. But we are a glorious church. And in the book of Ephesians, the fourth, and you know, he even said he gave us the fivefold ministry to perfect her. To help get her where she should be. Amen. And it's no doubt in his mind that we want, he said, when you come back and present it to myself, I'm coming for a glorious church.
Amen.
Not one written or all beat up. I mean, a glorious church. They're not going to have a spot or wrinkle in her because of what? He took care of a lot of that at the cross. He's provided a lot of that. When he gave himself at the cross and rose again, and he's still saying about it. And then he said before he ascended on high, he gave us the fivefold ministry. For what? For the perfecting of the saints.
And the work of the ministry.
That they won't be... I love my students. They coming up with some really good things. Thank y'all. Y'all sound glorious.
Amen.
Amen. Glorious. The world not going to look on it like he's looking on us now. He has planned for the church. Not only are we going to show the world, but principal angels and things. You know, they want to look into what we are. And they're trying to understand. They ministering to us, but they're still trying to figure out what are we. And not only that, those angels, other fallen angels, I mean, they're just, we're going to demonstrate to the world the glorious church. Because we have, where did he lay the head at? On the body of the church. So think glorious. Because I got a head.
Yeah.
Think glorious. He laid his head on the church.
Amen.
That didn't mean he didn't have no place. Some folks say he just didn't have no place to live. He was going like an evangelist. He didn't have no place to live. But he told him, come, let me show you where I dwell. And they dwelt there with him. Mm-hmm. So he had a place. And then he was a carpenter.
And then he moved to Capernaum and lived with Andrew and Peter.
So he had a place, but he didn't have a place to put his head. And that's but he built the church. He said,
good.
I'm going to build the church, put my head on that church.
Amen.
And I'm thankful that we don't have to use our heads. We're using his head. That's what's going to make us really glorious.
Amen.
Amen. I'm way out of time, but God bless y'all. I'm going to cut it right here. I'm not going any further.
Amen.
Praise God. But he found a place for his head. The church. Adam found a place to condemn.
This is so awesome. You know, when that is so well put. I never heard it that way. But it's true. It's right.
It's really simple when you think about it.
Dustin Summerall said one time, he said, everything with God is simple. He said, when it get complicated, you done got off track. And, you know, I found a video about him. That's why I stayed up too late last night watching Dustin Summerall. It was interesting. But he obeyed. When you obey the Lord, you can learn things that you can't learn any other way. You can see things that from a greater perspective, the head is connected. Every time you obey the Holy Spirit, this is what Mary is talking about. This is what I saw when the Lord kept giving me revelation about following God. I saw people's ability, their progress, the glory that will follow, their enhancement, how they'll be enhanced to do what God will give them to do. When you walk in the glory of God, you're not ignorable. Nobody can ignore you. The light is on, and you're showing people the Lord, the Lord's way. And when you live a certain way, when you live according to His word, you know, everybody has the same kind of problems. But when you're faced with problems, you solve them biblically, in the sight of everybody. And I was praying in tongues. It was many years ago. The kids were young, and I was taking them home one night, and I was praying in the Holy Spirit silently, you know. And on the way back, the Lord told me what I was praying in the Holy Spirit. And He got to a part, I don't remember everything right now, but He said part of what I was asking Him was to be a blessing to my audience. I said, what's my audience? He said, those are the people that see you every day. I said, wow, I never thought about it that way. But every day, you're gaining rapport with people as you love God and operate according to His word. To the point that your name becomes the definition of what you do. When they say Mary, immediately everybody knows that your character. If they say something against you or accuse you of something, they'll immediately know, no, Mary didn't do that. You're a liar. Mary, that's not in her character. She never does that. Or if they say something good, they'll say, yeah, I can believe that. You know, your name becomes the definition of how you live. Your advice, your counsel, persuasion, everything about you. People don't realize it, but when we live the word, they see what we do, and it's peculiar to them. It can be glorious. It can be average. It can be good. It can be over the top. And when people, and they sit, they're taking in what you're doing because they wouldn't do it that way. Or they inspire them, so they want to do it that way. But they have a problem with this area of life, and they're looking at that. And when I first became a Christian, I wanted to know that I would obey God before I commit to Him, because I didn't want to go back. I thought that was terrible to go forward then go back. Mm-hmm. And you know, it wasn't about me. It was about His power. I didn't know that then. So I wanted to get saved, but I wanted to have more control of my mouth because I used to use ugly words, and I didn't want to do that.
That's a good word, control. Uh-huh. The head controls the body.
Yeah. Yes,
it does.
So that's a good word. You want to be in. That's what wrong with men in the church. They want to be in control.
Uh-huh.
That's a two-headed thing.
And that's
good.
Yeah.
That was a good word, control.
And I wanted to do things right. Mm-hmm. And but I didn't. I tried, and I couldn't do it. And then I got saved, and then I had some things I had to work out. It took time. and I was able to work it out. But when I received the Holy Spirit, a lot of stuff just fell off my life. And as I studied the Word, other things fell off my life.
Jesus.
But once something falls off your life that's not right, now you're stronger. And to the degree of the Word of God that you live, your name becomes the definition of what you're doing in the sight of men.
Jesus.
And this is something God uses to encourage others and help them understand salvation and enter into salvation. But to us, we don't see what they see. We're focused on what we're trying to do, the hard work. We're trying to provide for our families. We're trying to encourage people when we can. We wish everybody to get saved. But we've been growing for a long time, and our prayers get answered. When people get sick, we lay hands on them or agree with them, and their children get healed, they get healed. Mm-hmm. I can't count the times people have gotten healed at where I work. Pastor lay hands on us, said lay hands on people. I said, okay. I started laying hands, and people started getting healed. I remember Jamal's son had meningitis, and he was crying. We prayed, and next thing you know, he's back home.
Praise God.
And I can't count the times, Brenda, she know a lot of people, and she get people together and start praying. And I'm one of the people, we'll pray together. And next thing you know, my uncle's out of the hospital, or my cousin's out of the hospital, and they thought they were going to die. These things go a long way. People remember it. You know, they don't forget how you helped them. Even if they get mad at you, they'll remember the times that you were there and the times you did, you helped them out. And see, the Lord is looking at, we're looking at right now, but he, you know, we're over here looking at right now. God is looking here. And for a long time, he's been using you strategically, even without your knowledge, with or without your knowledge, he's been using you strategically to help win the most contrary members of your families. And you can't see it. And, you know, the Lord said, I'm going to take everybody at your job. I said, when the rapture happens, I still can't see it. But I trust him.
Amen.
I trust him. They say things, I said, I don't know how you're going to do this, but I want you to. I agree with it. But you can't always see what he sees. But whatever he tells me, it always works out. It always works. And that's just the glory of the Lord.
Amen.
You can be in a situation. I was going to go, in this book, Presenting the Holy Spirit, she's talking about the spirit of grace. And she went through a heart problem. She talked about how her grandson died. He was grilling and the gas stove exploded and it burned his lungs. But he got saved, you know. Uh-huh. And then a few days later, he died. The glory of God will carry you. When tragedy happens, because we are in a war, I have life insurance because I'm in a war. I don't believe I'll ever need it. But if I'm not, I want my family to continue going forward. That's just wisdom. I mean, this is a war. The enemy tried to kill me several times. I thought about it last night. He couldn't kill me. He tried to. And there were things that the Lord even told me, some things happened in my life. I was not expected to survive it. And normally I couldn't have, but the Lord, I kept looking to him, and that's how I survived. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And then it changes the dynamics of what he can do in your life. And some things can be accelerated because things that challenge you, you keep looking to the Lord, you're going to grow even more. You can, whatever happens wrong, if you will grow, if you will ask the Lord how to solve the problem, just keep looking at him. Don't look at the misery. Don't look at the pain, the misery, what's going on. Look at him. And you're going to overcome that thing. But what happens is the dynamics change. You didn't just win in God's eyes. You won in the eyes of everybody. Everybody that knew what you were going through, you won in their eyes. You did it God's way and you healed. before everybody. You didn't see it because you're looking out of your eyes. They saw you, people that thought you wouldn't survive, they saw you survive this thing and go forward with joy and peace.
That's good.
And that speaks volumes. The enemy did his worst, and he lost before heaven. Everybody saw you win against him. Mm-hmm. What he set up to destroy you, you won anyway. And then you turn around and pray for people that caused the problem, and they get saved. I love it.
Whoa.
Watch this. Even if you're goofy. And the glory of God, it don't stop. And you change the dynamics. Now, you have enough, you're strong enough for God to give you an assignment that you normally would not have been able to carry. Now you can, if you keep the pattern of looking to him, now he's the head, you're not. He's the head, you're the body, you obey him with faith and trust. Mm-hmm. What happens when you have faith and trust? You develop vision. As you trust the Lord, you grow from glory. That's the fastest way to grow. You already can. Most people can operate in faith. As Muffin left and Ray left, I gave another example of faith and trust. I said Israel, they could obey Moses. They had enough faith to obey Moses, but they never learned to trust God through Moses. They never learned to trust. They stayed at the faith level.
So that old song, Trust and Obey, goes pretty good, doesn't it?
Yeah. See, the obedience of trust is faith. So when God told them to do things a particular way, he gave them manna. But there were still so many people that got manna for the Sabbath. They were supposed to get a double portion when the Sabbath, but they did it in the middle of the week and it spoiled and stank and bred worms. A lot of them didn't learn to trust him. So when you learn to trust him, it compounds the way you grow. Mm-hmm. Because you're looking at him, he tell you to do something. Well, what the Holy Spirit tell you to do personally, you can't find it in the Word, just examples of it. He told other people to do it. They trust him. And you can use that portion of the Word to say, well, I'm going to trust him in my life. But you can't see him say it. It's not something that you would have thought of. It's usually something that's very impossible. And it's something, and most time it looks too big. Unless he tell you to do something. But that's the beginning of something greater. So when you act on what he say, you're going to start growing. And then that event's going to get in the past, and he's going to tell you to do something greater. The last time it worked, so I'm going to trust him this time. Mm-hmm. Well, that process creates vision. And sometimes you'll get to the point where when he says something, you can see it. And your trust is fixed. Your trust is stable. You can see what he's saying. You know you're going to. When he gave me the website broadcast, it happened in stages. The rate, he said, stop doing just 15 minutes for the radio. I would always do a few minutes longer than 15, about 20 minutes or 17 minutes. He said, start doing 30 minutes, 30-minute broadcast. And what he did, the first half would be for the radio audience. The second half would be for those who are hungry. Because people who are hungry, they'll go on the website, and God will give them more. Remember, he speaks parables to the world, but he breaks it down to the hungry. And then after a few months, then he said, I want you to do a website broadcast. Mm-hmm. And that was for those who were really hungry.
Amen.
And I saw the wisdom and I embraced it without doubt. Uh-huh. And I began in the media. I began that part of the assignment. I was on vacation. And I did my first website broadcast on vacation. I waited till Alicia and Livy went to sleep, and I if you listen to the first ones, I did it quiet. I was trying to be quiet at night. Anyway, when you get to a point where, when the Lord tells you to do something, joy is one of the gifts you get, peace and joy. You You feel that peace because it's from God. It's pure. But the more vision you have, the more joy you get, and the more you embrace it. So it's everything that we've been doing, it may not be big to us, but your life is working. Everywhere you go, the advice you give, the count, everything is working. Dear Lord, I thank you for the glorious church. I thank you. Yes. I thank you for blessing us to be a part of it.
Amen.
Lord, help us to continue in you and do all that's in your heart. I know it's glorious. And Lord, bless that to be a glorious time in the Lord today in the main church, oh Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Help us do all that's in your heart. In Jesus' name, amen.